Listen, when you understand these things, when you are in crisis, you will scan. You understand my point? You will know, look, solution must be somewhere. There has to be solution somewhere. There has to be solution somewhere. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if he hasn't left me and he has not forsaken me, then there must be solution somewhere. You're getting my point? That's what it is. Many of the things Christians worry about is a sign that God's presence is not with them, or they don't understand it. And why people like me, all right, were sent is so that we will help the people of God. He said, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. You need to say to Zion, behold your God. Because many times they don't realize that their God is with them. They are running up and down. They are looking for prosperity all over the world. They are looking for prosperity in places that God didn't send them to. Many people are still fixated. You know, when I hear it once in a while, I'm shocked. I thought I have talked enough. Do you understand my point? I thought, you know, in my mind, I felt that you have spoken so much, people should understand these things. There are people that still consider a breakthrough. They will leave. Students will leave school because somebody finally offered them a way to go to America. A university student. Why? He thinks it's a breakthrough. He thinks it's a special opportunity. 9 out of 10 that take those opportunities regret it. Even speaking on the natural plane. It would have been better if they had just settled down, finished that school first. I'm speaking on the natural plane now, not spiritual plane now. Finish that school first, gotten a certificate, and then gone to the U.S., educated. Americans, if you know the way they reason. But because he's so fixated on, hey, God is in America. And listen, let me tell you something. God has provided your needs. Amen.
Amen.
You know, in the midst of trouble that he caused, that is Elijah. After he said, look, let's punish these people for disobeying their God. There will be no rain until I say so. So God said, well, no problem. Now that there will be no rain, I have to provide for this man. Listen, I'm looking at an issue here. You notice that everywhere he went, God had to send him there. If he went somewhere else, oh boy, will have starved though. The brook of cherries that he went to, God told him, go there. I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Listen, if God sends you to the wilderness, or you find yourself in the wilderness, not because you are pursuing other gods, either because God sent you there, or you just found yourself there, listen, God will bring food for you in the center of the Sahara Desert. God will cause that sandy place, he will cause it to begin to ooze water because of you. It will not happen that a child of God carrying the presence of God will be in the wilderness, in Sahara Desert, and he will die of thirst or die of hunger. Listen to me, it will not happen.
Amen.
It will not happen.
Amen.
The reason why things like that happen to children of God is that they run to the Sahara Desert when God said, go to the brook of cherries. It will not appear as if their God is not alive. And that's what Paul calls the defilement of flesh and spirit. That's what I'm still working my way towards, so we can discuss in details. Many people, listen, God's presence in the life of the child of God means that abundant provisions have been provided for him and for her. That's what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. But the problem a lot of times, because they don't realize, instead of them to scan, you know, I was talking about scanning earlier, quickly check inside them and pray a simple prayer. Lord, I know you provided something. Where is it? They say, no, the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, they look well watered. Let us go there. That's the problem. That is always what the problem is. Because they form other gods of certain geographical locations. Therefore, the power of God cannot manifest so as to solve their problem. God actually kept something for them somewhere. They just can't find it. Listen to me as a child of God. God never, listen, this is his word. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That is his word. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That is his word. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The only thing that happens is that sometimes people leave him and they forsake him. Yeah, that's what happens. A lot of times they leave him, they forsake him. That's telling me that country is hard.
Listen to me. Even if the young lions lack and suffer hunger, those who carry the presence of God will not lack anything good. Please believe that is the word of God. He said that country is hard. Listen, country is not hard. There was something I said, you know, this was it yesterday, my wife and I were discussing in the house. And I was reading the Bible. And it just struck me that when the storm attacked them in the book of Luke, chapter 8, and then Jesus was woken up to come and rescue the mission, you understand? And he came and he spoke to the storm, spoke to the waves, and said they should be still. I want you to notice something. He did not blame the devil for the turmoil. I want us to settle on that and discuss that. Please notice something. If it's today's Christianity, we'll come to church to give testimony. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Brethren, worship God with me. The devil came, stirred up the storm. The devil came, wanted to tip us over. The devil came. Jesus did not say the devil came. He looked at Peter, looked at him, and said, what happened to you? Where is your faith? Are you seeing what the problem is? You know, we're talking about God-centered praying on Tuesdays. Jesus didn't say, this devil is powerful. Thank God I was here. You guys will have been dead. No, you know, he did not make any reference to the power of the enemy. The only rebuke he had, the only anger he had, was towards the disciples. He looked at them and said, what? What happened to you? What is your faith? That is all these turmoils of life we focus on all the time, they are the signs that we don't have faith. It is not the sign that country is hard or things are bad. God, you know what he was saying? In the midst of the storm, I am still with you. That's what I'm trying to say. That even in the midst of the storm, I am still with you. And if you go to where there is no storm and I'm not with you, you will still die there. I like what one of our brothers said. He said, safety is not the absence of danger. Safety is the presence of God. That safety is not the absence of danger. Safety is being in the presence of God. And that's why that man I quote once in a while, what is his name now? Stonewall Jackson. Said, the man said, I'm as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bedroom if I'm in the will of God. So the man will literally walk through the battlefield and bullets will be, you know, zipping past him and he won't duck. What is logic? He said, listen, none of those bullets are meant to kill me. So, and they said, literally, there are records that they will check his clothes and they will find bullet holes in them. That the man's clothes will be checked and some of those bullets whizzing past, vroom, vroom, they've gone through the clothes. And that's why I got the nickname Stonewall. Stonewall Jackson. That used to stand like a brick wall. So his name became Stonewall Jackson. So that, my brother said, safety is not the absence of danger. Safety is defined by the presence of God. What are we talking about? We read from Psalm 114. It said, when Israel went forth from Egypt, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel is dominion or his dwelling place. The sea looked and fled. Lack looked and fled. Joblessness looked and fled. Are you getting the point? Confusion looked and fled. Troubles looked and fled. Jordan turned back. All the obstructions between them and their promised land moved back. And when the people asked, what ails you? That is, what is the trouble with you? See, that you ran away. And the hills, why are you jumping up and down? He said, this is the commandment, verse 7. Tremble, O earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob. It's a commandment from God. Everywhere the presence of God is, the earth around that place must tremble. You are getting the point I'm making? This is how it is, though. So this is how our lives are supposed to be. We are supposed to carry his presence. everywhere we go. Let's read that one that we read the other time. That was about two meetings ago. Psalm 132. I've explained a lot of things I want to say there, here. But I'm working my way back to where we were last time, all right? Because the main thrust of these meetings is that issue of the purification of the flesh and of the spirit. It's so crucial that we build up the expectation of the people of God, yes, so that they will understand what they are dealing with. So when Paul said, because of these promises, that's why we are purging ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. That's what I'm building up to again. Psalm 132. Let's really read that one. Now, because of time, I'll rush through this, especially since we read it some time ago, even though it's not part of this series. The message in which I preach this is not in this particular series we are on, our habitation of God. But we have to keep saying these things again and again and again and again. You know why we keep repeating them? I believe this is the commandment of the Holy Spirit. We have to go over these things again and again so that it's... I like the way he said it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, you have to wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of the people of God. I'm paraphrasing now. If you have the Amplified Bible, you can read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 there. So you have to talk about these things again and again until it enters into the hearts of the children of God. Please pay attention. Listen, when they say book these CDs, please do. They are out on MP3. Get the thing. I thank God for smartphones. Some people say that I don't need a smartphone. Yeah, maybe you don't need it, but it's a good thing to have. You hear what I said? And the reason is simple. It's not sure. You know, some people think it's the issue. Yeah, which kind of phone are you using? It's not sure. Don't change it every year. iPhone 6. Don't fall for that one. Amen? And that's not what we're talking about. But what I'm talking about is that I like this little device. This is, they call this an SD card. Most phones can take an SD card. Pack the word of God inside it. That's what I'm getting to. That everywhere you go, your spirit is being fed. Let me just drop something before I read this. You know, have you noticed something? Most people that gain weight didn't plan to gain weight. Let me explain that. Most people that gain weight didn't plan to gain weight. Did you notice that? Yeah. Most people don't plan to gain weight. They don't. What did they do? They just ate food. Did you notice that? Now just chop their chop. They go somewhere and they, oh boy, see suya. They work. Do you want some ice cream? I don't run. some chocolate? No problem. Like my friend said, when they moved to the U.S., you know, food is very abundant in the U.S., you know, that when they got there, they were worried about the waste, you know, waste. So where they were staying in the sister's house, his wife was always angry, you know. Chicken, they waste it. You know, you will be wasting food. You know, I don't know what I told you once. I read comic. Superman. You know, Superman in the comic and even in the films, he always gets into trouble when he does good. He will do good in the society, but get into trouble at home. So Superman was going to visit a lady one day. So the lady was waiting for him, had prepared food and everything. So Superman on the way, his hypersensitive ears, head of trouble somewhere. And he went to go and solve the trouble. So by the time he got to the house where he was supposed to be visiting, he was late. The lady opened the door for him, abused him very well, closed the door, and drove him away. You understand? I remember reading that comic years ago, that the lady, when Superman didn't show up on time, of course she did not know he was Superman. When he didn't show up on time, did I say Superman? Spider-Man. Spider-Man, I wanted to say. Not Superman, sorry. Spider-Man. So when Spider-Man didn't show up on time, you know what she did? I remember. She carried the chicken she had prepared, opened the dustbin, and tossed it inside. It was a comic. And I was wondering, why did she put the chicken inside the dustbin? You know, I was wondering, why did she put the chicken inside the dustbin? If it's you, what do we do? In the freezer. You toss it inside the freezer. And of course, you know, and even if you don't have freezer, you leave it on the table, cover it. In the morning, you smoke it. But one way or the other, that chicken ain't going into the freezer, into the dustbin. Like, the only way that chicken will enter somewhere else after you have digested it. Am I lying? You could just wake up, chicken when you prepare just now, toss it inside the freezer because a boyfriend didn't show up. Tori Kini. For what? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But you see, if you believe in their society, that one you will easily understand. Number one, the chicken is not too expensive. Number two, the freezer is full. The cost of inconveniencing yourself is higher than that chicken. So it's easier to just toss it to the freezer and wave it bye-bye. So my friend moved to the U.S. and she saw them tossing chicken into the dustbin. Haba. So he said, the woman said, yeah. He said, don't throw it away. What am I going to do with it? He said, don't worry, I will eat it. That's where I'm going. Everything, don't worry, I will eat it. Don't worry, I will eat it. He told me after about, 2 months, she had gained maybe like, for them, she had gained like 20 pounds. The next time they want to throw it away, I beg. I'm not your dustbin. Now, you know, the Lord is good. Now, you know why I said that, all right? Those who gain weight don't plan to gain weight. What do? They just eat. It's not an effort. It's not like, of course, there are a few people who say that, hey, I'm too thin. And those people, they never succeed. Have you noticed? Those ones that say, yeah, I'm too thin. I need to add some weight. They don't gain anything. Spiritual things are like that also. When you are trying to have faith, it's a sign that you don't have it. I don't know whether you heard me. Those who have faith did not plan to have faith. They just kept on feeding themselves with the word of God. And the Bible says that the yoke will be destroyed because of fatness. What we call the anointing. Actually, read every other translation. It says, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness. Literally, because you will have grown fat, so fat that the yoke will not be able to hang around your neck. It is a misapplication of scripture to say, come forward right now. As I lay hands on you, the Bible says, the yoke shall be destroyed by the anointing. The anointing is coming forth. It is a misunderstanding. The truth is that as the word of God is entering you constantly, without you trying to have faith, you are having fatter faith. They say faith is a concomitant of knowledge. I heard somebody quoting it. That it enters the heart effortlessly, unconsciously, as the word of God is entering. Those who really are operating faith are not aware they are operating faith. I told my testimony a few days ago here that years ago I used to argue with people a lot. They told me country was bad. I couldn't see what was bad in it. It's in recent times now I realized that actually I was, in quotes now, foolish. I now realize how foolish I must have looked in the eyes of those people. But why was I talking like that? It's not because I just love to disagree. I told you that was the season in which in 8 months, Bishop David Oyedepo alone, I listened to him for over 500 hours. And he was not the only person I listened to. I told you, it got to a time. If I've not heard any teaching in like 2 days, I start trembling. Like, what's going on? What's going on? You know, like a man on drugs. You know, spiritual. I'm trembling. On a bad day, I would do 2 tapes. And that's nothing strange about that. That is not a good deal. So when we were talking about country bad, I couldn't see it. I wasn't trying to be nice. It was not possible to see. I have seen Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. It says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I said, this thing will flow towards me. I will never run towards it. I didn't try. Those days. Listen, I don't know about now. I don't know how, so I've not listened to Bishop Oyedepo in a while. But those days, you couldn't listen to that man and faith wouldn't be exploding from your ears. T.D.J. said there was a time as a young boy, he crossed the road blind, that he closed his eyes and told God, I'm going to cross the road, you take care of me. He closed his eyes and crossed the road. He said, maybe I won't do that now as an older man. And in case you do not know, that was how David killed a bear and a lion. It was a matter of closing his eyes to cross the road. If he had time to think, he too would run. His father would have told him, "My son, you are more valuable than one little lamb." And even he, as an adult, would not have allowed anybody to do it. Do you know that? You want me to prove it to you? You know the proof now. When his men went to fetch water, he got angry. When his men risked their lives to fetch water, you know he got angry. Why will you do that? Why will you do that? But he forgot that he did it as a small boy. He was a small boy. He faced a lion and faced a bear to save the life of one little animal. If he was the father, even with his own experience, he would have gotten angry. But why did I talk about that? That man said he closed his eyes and walked across the road because he was just charged with faith in God. So faith is not something like, let me try, I'm going on a 4-week course. What are you trying to do? I want to gain weight. You know you won't gain any weight. You've seen it. All the lekpa people around you, ask them. They've tried. They chop, chop, chop. They almost choke. Nothing. 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 But listen, as the word is entering spontaneously, faith is developing inside your heart. Are you getting my point? That's how it works. That's why, you know, I started by, I don't know why I even digress into that. Explain that, look, get something that feeds you with the word of God all the time. Make sure you're always reading a book. It's not when Ebola comes, start running up and down. Listen, now that there's no Ebola, it's true. Go and get, Spiritual Hunger and Other Sermons by John G. Lake. Read that book inside out. When you read the news of Ebola, it won't move you. Read John G. Lake, the John G. Lake sermons on dominion over disease, death, and the devil. Read those sermons. Adventures in God by John G. Lake. Read those materials. When they shout Ebola, you'll be feeling sorry for the world. It won't cross your mind that it can move you. And it won't cross your mind. When a man was, you think Ebola is bad? Plague was killing people worse than Ebola. This current Ebola, this thing, death rate is less than 60% on the average. They brought the vaccine. The man said, no point giving me. He said, why? He said, because the organism cannot stay on my skin and survive. Let's give you some protection. The man said, where would the organism stay? And what was his logic? He said, you see, my skin is wired by nerves to my brain. And my brain is connected to my spirit. And my spirit is connected to the spirit of God. Therefore, the life of God flows from there down to my skin. He said, bacteria don't survive on it. Literally, they checked, and the man was right. So give him vaccine. He said, no need. Give him drugs, no need. And he was walking in the midst of the plague. Listen, if you have to say, God, I'm about to enter this, I want to walk on this water. Please, don't let me sink. Just don't bother. Go and look for Keno because you are going down. My brother, you are going down. Those who walk on water and not sink, they are halfway through the water before they realize they are on water. You get my point? The faith is just, you know, it's there's a way there's an expression we use when we are talking about it teaching about medicine. No? We use the word is insidious. You understand? It's just flowing in gently, gradually. You can't even tell when it started. The faith will just be building. It will just be building. How does it build? It's just a constant feeding. And the Bible says, as you are feeding, the yoke is what? Destroyed. Why? Your neck is getting thick. So when the devil comes and says, I will hook your neck, you won't even realize you're supposed to pray against the hook of the devil so it won't go around your neck. You'll be sleeping. The devil will stay there the whole night trying to fix the hook around your neck. After some time, he'll go, do you want to? I'm going. That is out of frustration. So next time, the devils will meet. He say, okay, I know Brother Chris. Yes. You're not a brother to them. You know enemy Chris? He say, yes, we know him. Who's going to put something around his neck? The other demons, I know they go. I'm busy. They will send, that is frustration. After a while, everybody will leave you alone. After a while, they will leave you alone. Not because you try to overcome, but because you are an overcomer. Are you getting my point? That's what it is. That faith enters into you as the word enters into you. And the word is forming something in you. It's not just giving you instructions. It's forming something into you. Remember, tremble thou, O earth, in the presence of God. Listen, financial empires will tremble in your presence. I'm serious about that. Where people say doors were closed, they say, tremble thou, O door. Because the child of the Almighty has come. Please get this point clear. That's what we are talking about. That's why I said, please, make a habit. Surround yourself with the word. Let it be infusing you all the time. I'm not here to give a set of instructions on how to behave alone. No. Yes, there are instructions. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is that the word is entering into you and building God into you. That's what we're talking about. Psalm 132. The Lord is good. Please, I hope you're learning something today. It says from verse 1, remember, O Lord, on David's behalf, all his affliction. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not enter my house nor lie on my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the field of Jair. Let us go into his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Now, let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Please notice this. For God to go to his dwelling place, he said his priests must be clothed with righteousness. Let your godly ones sing for joy. For God to go to his dwelling place, his godly ones must be filled with his joy. He said in verse 10, for the sake of David your servant, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. He said in verse 12, if your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I will teach them, their sons also shall sit on your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. He said, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. When I dwell in the place, listen to what happens in verse 15. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her needy with bread. Her priests also I will clothe with salvation. And our godly ones will sing aloud for joy. There I will cause the horn of David to spring forth. I have prepared a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies I will close with shame, but upon him his crown shall shine. The Lord is good. Amen. I believe I'm being led by the Spirit as I'm teaching. So what I wanted to, we'll put pause somewhere around here and continue next time. Remember I said at the beginning, I'm walking my way down to where we stopped last time. I've finished today. I've not been able to walk my way down to that place, even though I know that place. All right? If you remember last time I talked about the pollution of the flesh, you understand, extensively. And I believe the Lord gave us instruction in that. In fact, that again was amplifying what Paul said to us in that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that we should come out from amongst them and be separate. All right? Where I'm walking to is this issue of how we prepare the habitation of God. Paul was saying, David was speaking here. And I remember I explained this some time ago, that when you see the word David here, it was standing as a type for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, remember, O Lord, on David's behalf, all his affliction, all his suffering on the cross, all the things he went through, all right? All the prayers he prayed for his disciples, and the fact that he still lives now to make intercession for the saints. He said, remember, O Lord, you understand? What was it? What was he trying to achieve? He said in verse 3, I will not enter my house, nor lie on my bed. I will not give any rest to myself, he said in verse 5, until I find a place for the Lord. That is what God is doing, is to prepare a place for God to dwell in our lives. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's what he's doing. God is not bringing Christians to church so as to solve their problems. Let me say that again. God is not bringing Christians to church to come and give them one small breakthrough. That's not the aim. The reason why God brings you towards himself is to make you a habitation fit for his dwelling. That's it. And what I've been emphasizing for days now is that once that is in place, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing will be added to you. Remember, I said that faith is not that I'm deliberately trying to make sure things are okay. I will just notice that I'm not worried about anything as the word of God is being infused into my system. That is, God is saying that once I'm in your life, many things people worry about, you will never have the opportunity to think about them. Let me say something to you. This is very prophetic. It's a matter of fact. And it actually applies to you, but because of past experience, you really cannot say it like that. All right? But listen to this. Your children, they will not understand what it means to pray for money. They won't understand it. When they say, then God worked a breakthrough, and then I needed $5,000, and it came. They will be wondering, why does he need $5,000 as a miracle? That will be the story of your children in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, you know, I said that for you, it may be slightly different because of past experiences. What I mean is this. Listen, it will come to pass that your praying for money will be a story of I used to.
Amen.
It will be I used to. It will be I used to. Your children will not even have that story to tell.
Amen.
You have only one thing to do for them. Only one thing. Listen to this. This is the only thing you will do for them. Everything God has taught you, teach them. Let me say that again. Everything that God is teaching you now, what do you do?
Teach them.
They will not have to go through your experiences in that area. Never. I won't they learn that Jehovah is Jireh? They will know. But their own Jehovah Jireh is, we are talking $500 million. We are not talking about this, they want to parent. I don't know whether I get my point. The breakthrough they will be talking about is that we wanted to open the market in Brazil and they were saying we couldn't come. So I took my men, we took our private jet, we went to the land. You know what I'm saying? I went to go and prophesy. We fly down to come and prophesy. As we landed in the plane, I told the pilot, leave the engine running. It won't take long. We spoke to that land. You know what I'm saying? And then we boarded our plane again and flew back to Nigeria. Are you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so they will still know Jehovah that is Jireh. But we'll be Jireh at another level. The Lord is good. That's what I'm talking about. Where they will be discussing God's ability. It's not the one with, not this one. The ability of God they will be discussing. The Lord is good. But remember, this is what I'm telling you. The reason why God passes you through experiences, one of the reasons, is to teach you the lessons of life. So, you know, God said to David, he said, I swore to him, if your sons will keep my covenant and the testimony which I will teach them. Verse 12. That is, what you teach them, they will keep. He said, if they will keep my covenant and the testimonies that I will teach them, their sons shall sit on your throne forever. That is, those children, you are going to have them, they will be established. By the time they are being born, that throne, they will never leave that throne as long as you teach them the word. And they keep those testimonies. They will never leave it. What I have to say is a matter of fact. Listen. God is saying, I'm building. God is not sending. That's why I went into that. He's not bringing us to churches to teach us how to get a breakthrough. All this gathering I see all the times. Tonight is the night of breakthrough. Listen, it's for unbelievers. For Christians, we come to the presence of the Spirit of God so that we can be transformed into his dwelling place. Jesus said, this is what I'm doing. I will not give myself any rest until I've wiped out every pollution. Now, that's the point. Every defilement. Because as you are, God, you are God's property. Paul said to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, don't you understand that your physical body is part of Christ? This body, this one, this flesh, this one. As you are pulling this cheek, you are pulling the cheek of Christ. I don't know the part of Christ's body this cheek is, but it's part of him. Maybe on his ankle, I don't know, I don't care. Do you get my point? He says it's part of Christ.
That's why he warned them, be careful what you do with it. So you really have been bought. He said, why is it that God's presence is not felt? He said, because sometimes we pollute this thing. So he said, if we want to, you know, remember I said something last time, let me quickly bring it in again and I close with it. When Jesus said, me and my father, we are one. When he said that my father is working, so am I working, and all of that. And he called God his father. You know, people wanted to stone him. Because God being your father is not a joke. They understood it. What does it mean? It says if you carry God's presence everywhere, you will not even be able to drown. You know, sometimes you hear a building collapse, people died inside. You know, there's a transient period. You are wondering, what if I was in there? Does it happen to you? No, a transient period. Let me tell you the truth. Buildings can collapse where you are. Number one, the reason why they won't collapse is because God wants to use your presence to help people. But even though they collapse, now, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not preaching to make you happy. I'm giving you the word of God. You're inside a building, it comes tumbling down. You will turn around and find yourself outside and you're looking at the crumbled building. That will be your testimony.
Amen.
Angels will walk in there as the building is collapsing, you're on ground floor. Oh, the angels come in different sizes and they have different functions. One will just, you know, bend over you. His back is super reinforced concrete. He will do his hand like this. He creates a tunnel for you. Everything will tumble down. If you are still there, you just walk out, crawl out, shake your clothes, say, this dry clean only suit. Oh, now what? That will be your first worry, because the only thing that will be on your body is dust. You come out to shake it. They'll now start saying, he was lucky. The pillars collapsed in such a manner that they created a tunnel from where it was not a pillar. It was an angel of God. These spiritual things, they have physical manifestations. An angel stood somewhere one day. Moses saw bush burning. There was no fire. It was an angel that was waiting for him there. There was no fire. Angels are just standing there waiting. So what did Moses see? He saw fire. And there was no fire. It was just an angel waiting there. It was a spiritual presence. Listen, I don't know why I feel like ending with it. You are not alone.
Amen.
Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for the Lord is with you.
Amen.
In your going out and in your coming in, the Lord is with you. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. You are surrounded and delivered in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil shall befall you, and no plague will come near your dwelling place. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Next time I'll continue to develop this thing. Well, I think I've connected it again. I've brought out the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to learn today. Then we'll go back to talk about the purification of the Spirit. And that is what we Christians must be careful about. Remember, let's just quickly run through this as we close. A few things that are defilements of spirit. Paul said we have to purge ourselves. I said, number one, ignorance is defilement of spirit. Fear is defilement of spirit. Doubt is defilement of spirit. Anger, defilement of spirit. Unforgiveness, defilement of spirit. Greed, defilement of spirit. Haste. Bible says those that believe will not make haste. Defilement of spirit. Comparing yourself with one another is called jealousy, envy, defilement of spirit. These are the things that drive away the presence of God, so that Christians walk around and they look like mere men. And that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you for your word. Say, Lord, I was blessed by it. I give you the glory. You are the teacher. Pastor Banky is not the teacher. You are the teacher. Holy Spirit, I call you teacher.